guys. Welcome to Archive TV. I'm Shane, he's Mac, and we are back for another concentrate review. Today we are checking out some rosin. What are we looking at today?
We've got some bruschetta from Lofty's. This is a small craft farm out of Eugene. Been putting out some heat lately. Maybe real curious to see one of their newest offerings, the bruschetta, which I'm not sure what the strain.
So I tried to look this up online because I'd never heard of bruschetta weed. I couldn't find anything weed strain related. So this may be just something that they named with because that was the smell somebody got off of it, I would assume, or the taste.
I'll find out. It's very possible it's a weed strain name, but there's so many out there, it's hard to keep up with these
but
days.
Also, that seems to be kind of an unwritten rule, or at least it used to be, that it's kind of okay sometimes to name your hash mixes. But that can still be a little bit confusing for people sometimes, too. It's not necessarily ethically I agree with it, but I expect it more with hash sometimes than... I don't expect it ever with flour, but it's somewhat acceptable sometimes with that.
I expect it with flour, even though you shouldn't sometimes. But with hash, I enjoy a good mix, you know? I mean, it's like being a chef, and you got different ingredients, and if you put those ingredients together well, you might end up with something way better than where you started.
And some of the best mixes that I had, especially like back in the BHO days when we were doing our thing, like... some of the best mixes would be like a three-strain mix. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if those are long strain names, you don't have room for it on your menu. So I'm probably just going to call it whatever, you know, whatever our crew has been calling it. You know what I mean?
A lot of times that stuff can be what hits the hardest too, because you get just like that many more compounds mixed in.
Entourage effect.
Yeah. Like I definitely feel like that stuff can be the strongest by far.
Especially too, like we were talking about, when you can take something that, you know, doesn't particularly get you, you know, the most stone, but it's a really, really strong, pronounced flavor profile. If you're doing a mix, you can do 80% something that gets you really high, and then 20% of that, and a lot of times those flavors will take over even in, you know, small amounts.
Yeah, like tangy or
all that type of stuff. Yeah,
so a lot of the haze flavors, like
this stuff's funky. It's really, 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 really skunky. I'm not getting any type of bruschetta thing out of it, you know?
Is it still a battery?
Maybe a little bit. It let me know it was getting low earlier. We do gotta charge it. It's like 5 clicks to turn it on and then 2 to start it.
All
right. I'm getting like so one thing I've noticed like with rosin that, you know, coming from the BHO days that I never really, you know, picked up on before is like, especially hash rosin, a lot of times it's kind of tough to like differentiate from just that general hashy flavor. I feel like that's what separates like the really top quality rosin from just regular rosin is... how much of that general hashy flavor is there in there, you know? With this one, I'm definitely it smells hashy, but it smells like very, very fresh. Kind of like a, I don't even know.
That's a little got that just kind of sandy hash, old school, you know, too outside the
maybe
ordinary.
Maybe like a cake frosting thing off of it too, a little bit. If I was gonna like pick anything that's kind of jumping out at me, it's hashy, it's skunky, and it's got like a sweeter thing in there. Almost like it's not like a baked good type thing, but it is kind of like a, I don't know, cupcake frosting or something like that.
A little on the drier side. Consistency
wise. Yeah, consistency wise, a little bit drier. It's cakey, you know, but more of like a dry batter. When I did the close-ups, it was like just kind of in there in like a ball, you know. I always feel like for whatever reason, with the people that package it like that, that roll it in the little balls, it always seems to dry out a little bit faster for me.
A lot of times it can be how it was transferred, you know.
Yeah.
Like a lot of companies are really good. They'll have fridge cars and coolers, and you know, it's cold from facility to store.
We used to always package ours in just a room that stayed at like 55, 60 degrees, you know, and we would just try to handle it as little as possible, you know what I mean? Just scoop it out and drop it into the jar with dab tools. I always felt like once, for whatever reason, when we would do it that way, put it in the fridge and bring it out and let it sit out for a couple of days. On the second or third day, it would still be kind of wet. The stuff, whenever we would roll it into balls, you would leave it out for 24 hours and it would be like dry.
Yeah.
You know? So that's maybe that's just a personal preference thing. And it does look nice when you open up the container. It's that perfect little gram ball right there in the middle.
Agreed.
Yeah. But pretty stony. Definitely felt a little head change there. Eyes a little bit heavier for sure. That pretty much does it for this one, guys. We will see you on the next one. Press the buttons. Do the stuff.